overall, you'll make more money and you'll make more people happy and they will love you. If you don't optimize your checkout pages, you will make significantly less money. Simple as that.
Hello and welcome to the Art of Selling Online Courses. We're here to share winning strategies and secret hacks from top performers in the online course industry. My name is John Ainsworth and today's guest is Josip Belina. Josip is our funnel strategy lead. He has worked on dozens of funnel building and optimization projects for our clients. He's developed and tested most of the systems that DDM is now using when working with our clients and help people make millions of dollars. Today, we're going to be talking to Josip about optimizing checkout pages for online course and info product sales success. Josip, welcome to the show.
Happy to be here.
So why is it important to have an optimized checkout page and what's the benefits of optimizing the checkout process?
Very important step, basically the last step before people give you their money. When they go through the entire funnel, before they enter their credit card details, they will either trust you or they won't trust you. If they don't trust you, they will churn. They will go away. They will click that X button. They will never pay you anything. So you need to make sure that the checkout page resonates with them and that it's trustworthy. Overall, you'll make more money and you'll make more people happy and they will love you. If you don't optimize your checkout pages, you will make significantly less money. Simple as that.
Give us some kind of numbers. Like, what do most people have as their checkout page conversion rate? Like people who get to the checkout page who actually then buy.
So we've had about 20 audits this year. And what you'll normally see is about 5%.
That's awful. So wait a minute. People have gone through the whole process. They've got as far as your website, they might have gone to your email list. They've got to the sales page. They get to the checkout page. And then 95% of them leave at that stage.
More or less it's like that. And we always say that the benchmark for us is 12 to 18%. So you want 12 to 18 people out of 100 to buy. Most people have 5. When we start working with clients, we can triple to quadruple the conversion rate on those checkout pages. I wouldn't say overnight, but over a period of 2 to 4 weeks with optimized with our process of the checkout page optimization, can triple the conversion rate reasonably easy.
Whoa.
Reasonably fast and simple, not that easy.
Now, what's the best that somebody might be able to get to? Like, what's a really good conversion rate?
60 to 80%. We have had checkout pages that converted 80%.
Wow. Mm. Now, do you know if that varies depending on whether that traffic is coming from email or a tripwire funnel or like if it's from a launch? Like, do you know if it kind of varies depending on those kind of things?
Yes, it definitely varies. From a tripwire funnel, you will probably be able to get to around 20% with a checkout page conversion. It's harder to do that because front-end funnel, a tripwire funnel, which is a front-end funnel, people don't really know that much about you. This is probably one of their first interactions with your brand. So trust levels aren't that high. But if they've been on your email list, if you have a very good welcome email sequence, if you do email promotions the way you should be doing email promotions, if you warm them up well, at that point, they trust you more. And at that point, you can expect more than 50% checkout page conversions, especially if you are offering a product that people really, really want and it's not always available. If you have a wait list, for example, wait list people will convert at 50% sometimes and their checkout page conversion rates are going to be through the roof.
Gotcha. Okay, so we've identified that this is a really big deal. This can make people a lot more money. They're losing massive amounts of sales at the moment and they really need to work on this. So let's talk it through, like what's actually involved. What's the anatomy of an effective checkout page?
So we'll focus on the three most important things. You want a simple and clean design. You don't want to overwhelm people with a whole bunch of text and weird stuff. I like that Monica is going to be the one always telling you, don't do crazy, stupid stuff, which is basically, in a nutshell, what do we do? Don't overly complicate things.
Okay.
It needs to be simple and clean. You need to show trust badge. You need to show people that they can trust you as a brand or as a person selling these things. You need to be clear, concise, you need to have proper call to action buttons, and you need to show them a few testimonials and show them what other people have done as well. Ideally, of course, you also offer a money back guarantee. So you need to make sure that there isn't anything that's gonna, you know, make people leave the page without thinking it through first.
Okay, so we've got a few things there. One, remove anything that's overly complicated that's not needed to be there. Two was a guarantee. Have the guarantee on the checkout page. Even if you've got the guarantee on the sales page, have it on the checkout page as well. You mentioned trust badges. What does that look like? What kind of things are we talking here?
Let's say money back guarantee trust badges, or if you use things like Trustpilot, stuff like that, where people were able to, you know, give feedback on your courses, other courses, or anything that you do, show that. Put that in front of them. Show them that, okay, there are other people that also like what they see here. Mm-hmm. There are other people in the similar or the same position as you are, and they have had success with this. So will you.
Okay, cool. So we've got keep it simple, money back guarantee, and have that like a badge for that. Have testimonials on the page as well. What about, does it help if you put on something showing that you take the different kind of payments, like, you know, Visa, MasterCard, etc., like it just kind of graphics?
We normally have a graphic of various different cards that we will take as payment.
What else do people need to have on the checkout page? What other elements should they include?
An interesting thing is, let's talk about what they shouldn't.
Okay.
When it comes to fields, you don't want to overly complicate fields. This is a digital product, more or less. So we are selling digital products. If you don't have to capture their address field, if you don't have to capture their geolocation field, don't do that. If you don't have to take their phone number, don't do that. The more fields you can eliminate from your checkout process, the better. So ideally, you have name and email and their credit card details. So that should help you get more sales in. And then, of course, you want a compelling headline. You want to show them what they are buying, a small graphic of what they are doing. Mm-hmm. What we like to do often is showing them how they will be accessing their purchase. So step one, step two, step three, you know, mock that up, show them, you know, click here, buy now. You'll get an email that's going to allow you to create your account, and then you're going to be able to watch the course.
But that's on the checkout page. There's something kind of breaking down the steps like that.
Exactly. And we do have an example of that, which is going to be available in this podcast so that people can see that.
Okay, cool. We're going to put that in the show notes, do you think?
Mm-hmm.
Cool. All right. So in the show notes, you'll just be able to click the link and you're going to be able to see this example. I'm checking it out now so I can see this. Okay, cool. Yeah, so it's an example checkout page, and you can see exactly what all the parts of the checkout page should be, and it's broken down and shows you exactly what you need to include in your checkout page. So that should be super helpful. All right, cool. So what's the next step then? What about mobile optimization? What kind of role does that play in the checkout process?
I would say about 80% of people are going to be using their mobile devices now, which is... It's very important, as most of these pages are built on desktop, it's very important to make sure that they are actually responsive and optimized for mobile. You need to ensure that the page automatically adjusts to fit the screen size of any resolution or any device people are using. That means flexible layouts. You want to be able to scale the images. You don't want the images to have too much weight so that they load faster. As I said, you want to simplify input fields. You want to have those input fields as high up the screen as possible on mobile. If you want them to see their name, email, all of that first. If there are numbers involved, you want to allow them to input those numbers with a numeric keypad automatically.
Mm-hmm. It drives me crazy when someone hasn't set that up. And I'm like, oh, come on, guys. You know this is going to be a phone number. Why have I got to use the titchy little... QWERTY keyboard with the numbers on it. Yeah, definitely.
The buttons should be large enough for you to press them. You know, it's just annoying when the button is so small that you can't really see it.
Yeah.
And then basically you need to make sure that the pages load faster on mobile. Usually mobile devices are going to have slower internet connections.
Mm-hmm.
So a fast loading checkout page can significantly reduce your cart abandonment. Right.
Okay. So in terms of mobile, we've got responsive design, so it works on whatever size somebody's on. Simplify the input fields and make sure it's really easy. So you minimize the number of input fields and you make sure that it's really easy for them to input on them by, for example, having a numeric keyboard for phone numbers and dates. Large touch-friendly buttons and fast loading times. Okay. And what kind of impact does that then have on conversions if you do the optimization?
Normally, once you've done all of that and once you've made sure that all of these elements exist, we normally tend to see 3 to 5x increase in the conversions there.
Okay.
Resulting in a lot more revenue, because you will also have other things on the checkout, like upsells and order bumps on the checkout, upsells later. With all of that, you can increase your revenue up to 5 to 10x, depending on the funnels that you are working on.
Wow.
I can say for sure that if we are working on a tripwire funnel optimization, with the checkout page optimization there, we can definitely triple the revenue from a tripwire funnel just by focusing on the checkout. You will normally start from the checkout and work your way up to the front-end sales page. You will not start with the sales page if the tripwire funnel already exists.
Now, one of the things that you've mentioned here was about like reducing number of fields that people have got. What about checking out by just putting in your email address versus creating an account and creating a password? Is there any like pros and cons to those different approaches?
Yes. So you will never suggest creating an account as part of the checkout process. It is more standard if you are selling SaaS, if you are in the SaaS industry, than if you're selling software as a service, rather than selling an info product. Because if you're selling an info product, you will normally get access to whatever you're buying through an email, which you can use then to start that whole account creation setup. If you use the account creation setup before the checkout happens, there is going to be more friction there and more people are going to just leave.
Yeah.
About 30% more.
Why do people do it then? Why do people ask anybody to create an account? I've never really understood it.
Because sometimes due to technical limitations and sometimes due to just not knowing how to go around stuff like that, not knowing how to use Zapier for automation and other automation tools like Make and stuff like that. So basically lack of technical knowledge is often the most important factor in deciding whether you'll have an account creation process or not.
Got it. Okay. So there's no positives to it. It just might be easier for the person who's running the business sometimes to have it in place rather than going and setting up automations. But it's in no way better for the user, it sounds like.
Yeah, the main goal here is, you know, to make it as convenient as possible for people to buy your stuff. So you want to reduce cart abandonment and you want to have a frictionless checkout experience. Mm. The way to do that is to minimize all of the distractions, all of the unnecessary account creations before you get someone's money. Once you've gotten their money, at that point, they aren't going to do whatever you tell them to do to access what they want.
Mm-hmm. That makes sense. Okay, talk to me about different payment options, because does it help having PayPal on as well? Like, is that worth doing?
Yes. Normally, we will offer Stripe and PayPal checkout. We used to do only Stripe checkout, and then we tested PayPal, and our conversions went up by about 35 to 40%, depending on the checkout pages. Some people are generally, they trust PayPal. PayPal was one of the first online payment providers available that basically, you know, started this whole thing. And they are very proud of, you know, we are secure.
Mm-hmm.
And people trust the security of PayPal. So some people are not going to enter their credit card details ever online. With PayPal, it gets easier. So more people will buy. So we do highly recommend using both Stripe and PayPal.
Cool. Okay. What is there anything else you can do to kind of make the checkout process easier besides everything that we've covered so far? Like any other tips?
What we like to do is to show people where in the funnel they are with a progress bar. So that's going to be something that we'll always have on top of the checkout pages. We'll show them, okay, you are now customizing your order. You are 80% done, for example. That way they can visually see where in the process they are. And of course, something that we didn't really mention, but it goes without saying, every checkout page should have an order bump at least one. What we've learned, by the way, is that if we have two order bumps, hitting 50 to 60% order bump take rate is easy.
Nice. Okay. All right. So we've talked through so far a lot of detail about how do we make it simpler for people? How do we increase trust? With the testimonials, I just want to go into that in a little bit more detail. Do you include photos of the person the testimonial is from? Do you use Trustpilot a lot? Like, what's some of the details of how to do the testimonials really well?
They should be written more. Mm-hmm. You don't really want to have a video because it's going to weigh down on the page a lot. So a small image, a headshot of a person, and a sentence or two, no more than that. So we've actually tested a shorter form checkout page versus mm-hmm. a longer form checkout page. Depending on there isn't, you know, clear data which one is better because it depends on the product. Sometimes, you know, you'll want to eliminate even the testimonials, which is very interesting.
Mm-hmm.
We had one done for a client where we eliminated testimonials and our checkout conversion actually went up. And the reason for that was that the checkout was smaller. So we eliminated distractions. While with other done for you clients, when we added more testimonials, the checkout page conversion rate went up because now people trusted the brand more. So there isn't one thing fits all. You need to split test this.
Okay, so let's assume that someone's not at the stage yet where they're ready to do tons of split testing. Would you suggest including testimonials for most people?
If you have testimonials, then yes, include them. If you don't have them, of course, don't.
So start off by including testimonials and everything else that we've mentioned, the money back guarantee, the simplifying the process, all of this. And then you might get to the point of like, now we're going to start running some split tests on it. Okay, let's talk about like the tracking the numbers on this kind of thing then. Why is it important to track the key metrics and the KPIs on the checkout page?
Yeah, as always, we use the KPIs to identify bottlenecks and areas to improve. And then we'll talk about split testing as well. But basically, we know the benchmarks. If a checkout page isn't converting at about 18%, it probably means we can improve it by quite a bit. No, when we do an audit, for example, when we see that someone's checkout page is converting at sometimes 0.5%, I know we can make it probably 30%.
Really? Have you seen that? 0.5%?
Yeah.
Oh my God.
It's usually when people are positioning or selling higher priced offers, the way that they drive almost the entire traffic to that offer instead of a lead magnet. Now, if you are selling a $700-$800 product,
mm-hmm.
your goal isn't really to send all the traffic to that sales page.
Yeah.
Your goal is to get them as leads and then do a promotion.
Yeah.
So you will often see that those checkout conversion rates are low. But even at that point, we can increase it by 10x reasonably easy.
Mm-hmm. Nice. Okay, so let's talk everybody through. There's going to be a spreadsheet coming, and I know that this might not be your favorite. I'm not talking to you here, Josep. I know spreadsheet's your favorite thing, but if you're listening, this like might not be your favorite thing, but it's not that complicated. What you need is down one side of the spreadsheet, the weeks, and across the other side of the spreadsheet, you're going to have the different stages of your sales process, your sales funnel. So let's just start really, really simple and just talk about the checkout page. So you're going to have how many people get to the checkout page and then how many people buy. And then you have another column that is number of people who bought divided by number of people who got to the checkout page times by 100. And that's going to give you the percentage. And so you can see in that percentage column, what is your percentage conversion rate each week? And then it's probably going to be, like Josep said, about 5% at the moment. And then you make the changes to it, and then you see what the conversion rate is afterwards. And that way you know, oh, it definitely went up. If it's still below 18%, then you're like, okay, I know that there's probably more changes and improvements I can make. And you go look at the template that we've included in the show notes and you go, okay, what else have I missed? Have I not got the guarantee? Have I not got the testimonials? Like, is this too many fields on here? Whatever other changes you might need to make. And then you'll see, the conversion rate has gone up, and then you'll know how much more money you're making from it. Like, that's the basic process. It's not like you could do a much more complex one, including sales pages and email conversion rates and everything, but just for the checkout page, that would be enough, wouldn't it?
Exactly.
Okay. So Any more tips around split testing? Anything else that we should talk people through there?
What you could use there is also a tool called Hotjar or any other tool that would allow you to record user behavior on a particular site. Basically, you can leverage that to see, basically get user feedback and refine the checkout experience for them by looking at how they actually navigate through that page.
Okay, so Hotjar is recording each of the users as they get to that page, and it shows where they're scrolling, where they're looking. And you can generally tell where someone's looking if it's on desktop by where does their mouse go. And you can generally tell on mobile by where does their finger go. And so it's recording that on there as well. And you could watch like 50 or 100 of these videos and you'd be like, oh, everybody's doing exactly the same thing or dropping out at the same point. And then you can see where to make changes.
You'll also see a heat map of it and basically see where people are focusing their attention.
All right, cool. And what else are we, what are we going to work on next so we can get even better at this? Have we got any more tests coming up?
Yes. So we're going to test the abandonment cart emails. We're going to try and leverage abandonment cart a bit more. So basically, we normally opt in and suggest people use one-step checkout, where we minimize distractions. They enter their email and they enter their credit card details, and then that's it. They bought the product. What we are going to test next is going to be a two-step checkout process, where we are first going to ask the customer for their name and email, and then we are going to capture the payment details so that we can see whether we can leverage the abandonment cart emails to actually increase the revenue there. The premise is that a simpler checkout is better. They expect our current system to win, but we'll see.
Yeah, it's an interesting one because I was chatting with a friend who's running funnels for his online courses, and he tested both of them and he found out that the one-step checkout worked better for him. But I wonder if it's another one of those ones like you mentioned, like sometimes you take the testimonials out, like maybe sometimes doing a two-step checkout is a better idea. Maybe it depends on price, like maybe a more expensive thing, it's worth including it, and a cheap one, it's not. I don't know that. I'm just guessing, but we'll run the tests, right, and find out.
Yeah.
Cool. All right, sweet. So just to summarize, overall, working on your checkout page can probably lead to you like tripling or maybe five times or maybe even more your revenue. Something like 3 to 5 times as kind of revenue through one particular funnel is quite possible. Look for an 12 to 18% conversion rate, and we've even had it as high as 60 to 80 before. You're probably at about 5% conversion rate at the moment. The things you need to do are simplified and clear design. You need to have a money back guarantee, social proof, a small graphic of what it is they're buying, tell them how they're going to be able to access it, include PayPal, include pictures of the graphics of the way they're going to be able to make payments, American Express, PayPal, MasterCard, that kind of thing. Make sure you've got a responsive design, simplify the input fields, have large touch-friendly buttons, fast loading times, use the right kind of keypads, set it up so they can use number keypad if it's a number they're entering. Keep the whole process super, super simple. Include order bumps and upsells. That's slightly outside of the conversion rate of checkout page, but definitely still do it. And then set up KPIs for tracking it. And then once you've got your KPIs in place, then see, right, I've made these changes. Did the conversion rate go up? And then once you want to get really clever and you're further along and you've done all the basics, then you can start split testing as well. Woo! Okay. Guys, I think this is going to be epic. If you implement this and you make a bunch more money from it, send me an email. Always love to hear success stories of listeners to the podcast, john@datadrivenmarketing.co. And go to the show notes and get your template of what the checkout page should look like. It's just click into the show notes, whatever podcast app you're using, and you're going to be able to see that there. Great. Thanks, Josip. That was absolutely amazing.
Thanks.
Cool. Thanks for listening, guys. And we will catch you next time.